podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we are in a four-week series on Why Are You in Church? And for those of you who have been with us, this is really designed to answer the question, not just why are you in church, but the answer to this question is rooted in yet another question, and that is, what is church? And many times the reason why we don't understand why we have to go to church or be in church or be consistent with church is we're not sure about what it is. In the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the pattern of the church. I'm reviewing for you so that some of you who are here for the first time can catch up with us. And we said that the pattern of the church is like a building. It's not a building, but it's like a building. We said it's not a body, but it's like a body. And finally, we said it's not a bride, but it's like a bride. We also said that the reason for this pattern is because there is a purpose. A purpose is the very reason why something is designed. We looked at those purposes and said one of the purposes is to be a community. Not just a community, but a spiritual community. Then we said that it's not just to be a spiritual community, but a place for spiritual growth. Nothing happens if we become stunted and we never grow to the maturity or the place where God wants to take us. Then we're forever tossed and blown by the winds of doctrines and all sorts of new things rather than being stable because we're growing. It's not about perfection, it's about growth. Finally, we said the third purpose for this is spiritual intimacy, that we would have intimacy with Christ. And we said that this is like a compass. These are the things that we use to direct us. When you use a compass, it is not necessarily a linear direction. Sometimes you're going to have to make minor changes in the course or mid-course adjustments, as they would put it, because there may be a fallen piece of wood or a storm or a hole or something that you didn't see. The direction is clear, but what you meet as you go in that journey is not clear. And when you encounter these things, you may have to have mid-course corrections and go back in track, and the compass is what guides you there. So in summary, over the last 2 weeks, we talked about church as a spiritual family. The purpose is spiritual community, spiritual growth, and spiritual intimacy. We said that spiritual community or community by and large is about availability. You can't build community, you can't build a family with people who you're not available to or are available to you. There's acceptance and there's affirmation and affection, and I won't go into the details of all of those, but these are the things we said are the contents of what spiritual community looks like, and those things are real to us. Not because of what we've accomplished or fees we've paid or tuition we paid or being a member of a club. It's because of what Jesus did for us. We become available to one another. We accept one another for who we are. And we affirm and give affection to one another. Then we said it's about spiritual growth. Growth in worship, growth in the word, and finally growth in prayer. Now finally, he said that spiritual intimacy means intimacy with Christ, that we are bonding with him and becoming more and more intimate as we grow in him. We become intimate with his mission. The reason why we want to do what he wants to do is not because it's forced upon us or we're manipulated to do it, but because we are intimate with him. And finally, we live this life of holiness because we want to be one with God. And the result of what this house is for, a spiritual family, why you have families for children is to bring them to maturity. The same way that you raise children in your house, the goal is not to keep them there. The goal is to mature them so that they can fulfill the purpose and the destiny that they have in God. Now, while compasses are all the same in their function, there are different compasses for different purposes. For instance, there's a compass for underwater scuba divers. There's compasses for pilots. If you're a pilot, you need something that's a little bit more complex and responds to things that are probably not on the ground. When you're climbing Mount Everest, there's a special compass that you use. And finally, when you're doing surveys or you're doing archaeology, there's what they call, there's a term for that compass, which I don't remember right now, but there's a term for it. And these are different compasses. In other words, when you're finding a church, you're finding some of the basics, the things that define a church: community, growth, and intimacy. But as you move forward in life, in joining a church, you want to find the distinctives. why this church and not that church? And please do not make the mistake of thinking I'm trying to make you join this church. I'm not. I'm trying to tell you that you need to know what the church is for and find the distinctives that will cause you to want to be part of that church. Distinctives, another word for distinctives, are core values. When you're joining a company, when you're joining an entity, you want to know what the values, the core values of that company or that entity is. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the core values of this church, Every Nation Singapore. A compass is designed to give you the guiding principles. These are the core values. These are the things that guide you, or the principles that guide the church. Now, they should not be in conflict with the essentials of a church, but rather enhance them, but the focus changes because these are distinctives, sets the direction of the course of the church, and finally dictates the behavior of the people in the church. As a movement of churches, Every Nation globally, when you talk about Every Nation, we're in 70-some countries. We probably have anywhere from, I don't know, the smallest of the smallest or the biggest of the biggest would probably be about 600 to 700 churches globally. And there are distinctives that when you step into an Every Nation church in China, in Afghanistan, or anywhere in the world, in Bangladesh, in Pakistan, in Manila, in Singapore, there are distinctives that you know you are in an Every Nation church. And that's no different for a place like Singapore. There are five distinctives or core values that make Every Nation churches Every Nation churches. The first one is the word lordship. This is a key ingredient to why an Every Nation church is an Every Nation church. Basically, what lordship stands for is we value obedience. You may not be aware of this, but when you open your Bible and study your Bible, you'll find that faith has at least 230-plus verses. There's probably about 236, 237 verses on faith. When you try to look on prayer, you'll probably find 220-plus verses. When you look for miracles and signs and wonders, probably 160 verses. When you look for worship, probably 150 verses. When you want to understand grace, probably 120 verses plus. When you look at the word Lord in the Bible, there are over 6,400 verses. The more you understand who God is as Lord, the stronger your faith will be, by the way. The more you understand that God is Lord, the better your prayers are going to be because you know He controls the universe. The more you understand who God is as Lord, the more miracles you're going to see in your daily lives. Sometimes we've learned how to focus on the minor things rather than the major thing. And many times, the reason why our faith, our prayers, the miracles don't happen, our worship doesn't happen, the reason why we don't fully understand, by the way, if you don't understand grace, you need to understand Lord. Because if you understand that God is Lord over your life and He can do just about anything in you and for you or through you, then you understand that He's giving you a lot of grace. And the reason why we never understand grace is because we never understood God as Lord. One of the verses that emphasizes lordship in the Bible is in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Okay, you're supposed to, what Pastor Larry said earlier, you're supposed to forgive, but you don't do it. You're supposed to give, but you don't do. So why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And then you're wondering, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice. There's that idea of not just hearing the word, but putting them into practice. I will show you what they're like, he says. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it. That's what happens to people who have built their lives on lordship. You can't shake them because it was well built. When you build your house on just about anything else and not have lordship as a core component of your life, You might be praying a lot, but you're disobeying God, and so your prayers never get answered. Boy, it's quiet here this morning, Pastor Larry. That's why to every nation people all across the world, we drill lordship to them. We tell them Jesus is Lord and nothing less than Lord. And if you're looking for a God whom you can puppet and make him do what you want him to do, this is not the church for you. I love you, amen? But if you're going to be part of this church, you're going to understand this is a core value. We're not going to get mad at you. We're just going to keep insisting that he's Lord until you get tired of us. Because he is Lord. But one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. Notice, hears the words but doesn't put it into practice. He doesn't obey. He says it without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed. You can do all the things and believe God for all the miracles and have all the faith and pray all day long and lift up your hands and even have tears in your eyes when you worship, but because you don't obey God, the house collapses. And its destruction is complete. Over the years, I thank God for the men and women who drilled lordship into my life. I do. Because I get it. I'm not Lord. He is Lord. I get it. It's not my emotions who's Lord. He is Lord. It's not my desires that is Lord. He is Lord. I get it. I get that when the Lord says no, it's no. In fact, let me give you, if you want to understand lordship, this is pretty much how it works. You ask God and he says no. The reason why he says no is because it's a no. Amen? Okay? I want to have two wives. No. I want to have a same-sex wife. No. I want to steal. No. That's lordship. There's things that God's going to say no. Some things are more nuanced than others, but it's a no. Then there's sometimes where God says, not now. It's not the season. The timing's not right. God, I want this house. I want this car. I want this money. I want this job. And he says, no, not now, Joey. It's not the right season. It's not going to work. If you do it now, it's not going to work for you. This is lordship at its best. In fact, if you get used to walking in God's lordship, you would be amazed how blessed you're going to be. Churches do not preach lordship. They emphasize all kinds of things, but they don't emphasize the one thing that will build the foundation in your heart. Then there's the not yet. It's the right season, but you're not mature enough. If I gave you $5 million right now, it'll blow your mind and you're going to walk away from me. You're just not yet ready. I need to grow you up. You're too stupid just yet. I'm talking about myself, amen? You're not ready for it. And then there is the now. Now, Joey, you can have it. You've learned how to accept no. You've learned my timing. And you've accepted growth. Now you can have it. The second core value of our congregations all across the world is evangelism. We don't just value obedience, we value lost people. Why do we value lost people? Because Luke chapter 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And the very reason why he came is to seek and save the lost. It's not to keep the found in a nice air-conditioned place. That's not the goal. That was never the goal. The goal was to increase numbers by reaching lost people. Luke 15 verse 4 says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now think about this principle. What he's basically saying is, isn't the focus the guy who's not yet here versus the guys who are here? The guys who come here every Sunday have heard everything there is to hear, and spiritually they're as fat as anything you can imagine. Amen? And there are people who are lost, and they haven't even heard about God yet. Isn't that the focus? Notice in verse 4, it says that he goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. Jumping to verse 7, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven. You want to get God excited? Bring lost people to church. You want to get God excited? Lead lost people to Jesus. He's not excited by just us coming to him every day asking for more things. He's more excited us seeing us reaching out to the lost. Let me read to you an article so you can understand the lostness of the world and how the world works. The world is too big for us, the article says. Too much is going on. Too many crimes, too much violence and excitement, maybe not in Singapore. But try as you will, you will get behind the race in spite of yourself. Very much like Singapore. Sounds like Kiasu, doesn't it? It's a constant strain to keep pace. And still, it says, you lose ground. Science empties its discoveries on you so fast that you stagger beneath them in hopeless bewilderment. He says, the political world now changes so rapidly, you're out of breath trying to keep pace with who's in and who's out. Okay? Does that sound like your world? Everything is under pressure. Does that sound like your world? Human nature can't endure much more. This article was written by the Atlantic Journal. What's interesting was it was written in June 16, 1833. In other words, the world's not going to change. If you're trying to change the world, good luck. God's not trying to change the world. He's trying to save the world from itself. Notice the words changes so rapidly. If you don't understand the church is probably one of the places, the people of God, when you think about the Jews, the Judeo-Christian belief, it's 6,000 years and it's not changing very rapidly. The more the church tries to adapt itself to the world, the more you're going to lose who you are. Because you're not meant to be the world. You're meant to impact the world. In 6,000 years, from Judeo beliefs all the way down to Jesus and the church, has been 2,000 years of consistency. Core values, evangelism. When the church loses that and it becomes about keeping ourselves happy and prosperous, we're missing the point. That's not the point. That's a byproduct of a life in Christ, not the focus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." What is the world? The world is the systems. But the reality is we're not trying to save the systems, we're trying to save the people. It's the people, it's one-on-one. We're reaching every single human being, you and I going out of this church, touching other people. It was William Temple who said, "The church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members." The third value, if you're in every nation, is discipleship. We value spiritual growth. Again, we find in Matthew 28, verse 20, the words, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey." It's back to obedience, to help people follow God. That's what discipleship is. Helping people in their vital practices and vital relationships and vital life practices. Discipleship is not just a class. It's modeling it in prayer, in meditating in the Word, in proclaiming the gospel, in fellowship. When you come to church on a Sunday and fellowship with others, you're modeling discipleship. Your vital relationships. You're teaching people how to live in trust, in love. You're teaching people how to forgive one another. You're teaching people how to communicate with one another. your vital life practices, your health, your work, your finances, and how you consume and enjoy life is important to God. These are discipleship practices. Number four is leadership. We value leadership development. Our goal is not to build one church with one speaker. That's not the goal. When you come to our church in Manila, we have 176, 178 services. And each of those services, a different preacher preaches because we develop leaders. We're not trying to make one church for one person to speak. There are people that like this speaker, there are people that like that speaker, and there are other people that would like other speakers because God uses different people, and the goal is not to have one superstar celebrity preacher, but to have multiple leaders. Amen? Gosh, you're quiet this morning. But you can't do that if you don't make disciples, because out of those disciples, you find leaders. And you develop leaders. And you launch leaders. And you help them fulfill their dreams. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the people, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. The idea is not for one guy to know it all. The idea is to disciple people, raise leaders, and transfer leaders, and grow and grow and grow, and then you become unstoppable. Not because you're the smartest guy in the room, but because there are multiple leaders. We are not about growing our own ministries. We're about raising leaders and reaching more people. And where we can help best, that's where we go. Don't you think my wife's cute in that picture? I think she's very cute. It's 20 points right there. Slam dunk. Better than LeBron, okay? Family. Our final value is family. We value long-term relationships. We don't value just, okay, the whim relationship, the hi, hello, the guy who's a celebrity related, the guy who's fit, no, the Instagram. No. We value, how long have we known each other, Pastor Larry? Over 20 years. And we're still walking together. He was just in my city of Manila helping grow the churches there. He's traveling all over the world. He's one of our major prophets who's traveling the world because that's what this is about. It's long-term relationships. I didn't live here. I lived in Manila. He lived here, but the relationship stayed. Because that's what relationships are. How long have we known each other, Philip? 20 years. Sweetie, how long have we known each other? 20 years. How long have we known each other, sweetie? 36 years. Because we value long-term relationships. What good is life if your relationships are flippant? If you call spiritual family, then it better behave like spiritual family. That's why you need trust and love and forgiveness and communication, because life does have its failures. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. One of the greatest joys over the weekend was our vacation Bible school, probably the biggest one we've ever had. Why? Because as a church, we focus on lifelong relationships. We want these kids to be friends. But you know what made this thing happen? What made this thing happen were disciples. Young men and women who volunteered for 3 days took leaves to make it happen. These things don't just happen. They happen because people make them happen. So these core values are actually connected to each other. So if you have a spiritual family or a church, spiritual community, spiritual growth, spiritual intimacy, you're not going to have that without lordship. And that house will not stand without evangelism, without discipleship, without good leadership, and without family. Because your relationship, if the family's, the post of the family's not there, then your house is tilted because your relationships are not long-term. If your house is not built on leadership, it will sag. If your people are not discipled, then they're not even following God. And if you're not evangelizing, then your house is not growing. These are our core values. If you're visiting us for the first time, glad to meet you. But this is what this house is about. And it's like a body, isn't it? On one foot, it's evangelism. The other foot is discipleship. One hand is leadership, and the other hand is family. And the heart of it is discipleship, is lordship. That Jesus is Lord over my life. And then I can become the church that flavors and preserves the world. And then I can be the light of the world. See, the Bible doesn't want us to just lift up Jesus. He wants us to worship him. But the church is Jesus in you, the hope of glory. That wherever you go and wherever each one of us goes, the world is flavored. The world is preserved, not just on a Sunday, in your homes, in your families, at work. Wherever you go, the light of morality, the glory, the holiness of God is seen. That's who you are. And guess what? You live that way, you're going to be fine. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be very happy. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your church, your holy church, your people. Would you just lay hands in your hearts right now and make this declaration with me? You say, Jesus, you say, Jesus, I am your church, the salt and light of the world. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life this day. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Teach me to live in spiritual community, to continually grow spiritually and grow in intimacy with you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.